Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't raise the tree just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
A couple of days ago, Ado, we spoke of the Tigers and sort of their, you know, off-season recruitment, and it was probably one of the best in the NRL. I would say it's rivaled by the team we're going to speak of today. That is the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. A lot of shifting parts. Big Gus Gould is working that 5-year plan to a T. You know, I expect good things from the Doggies this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, number one thing you can mention is probably the coach. It's a big signing, isn't it? He's very highly renowned, coming from a very successful sort of background at the Panthers and in his whole career as a coach. So not to mention a couple of years of recruiting a couple of big names as well to come this year. As a Doggies fan, I think you've got to be more excited than you've been for a number of years.
Yeah, you mentioned Cameron Serraldo, and I guess the naysayers will point towards Trent Barrett and his sort of failures as a head coach. Would you say that Cameron Serraldo is going to be closer to Trent Barrett or closer to Ivan Cleary?
I think closer to Ivan Cleary. See, the thing is that Baz, he's had his issues before. He got all lauded as the great attacking coach there at Manly, but there wasn't. It's not like he was. Everyone was saying the next big cab off the rank, and all there is great reports about him, Serraldo. No one was really saying that about Trent Barrett. He just got that one. It got it into everyone's head that he was such a great coach because of the attacking. Was it at the Penrith Panthers? I don't know. Yeah. He was the attacking coach. I don't think it's going to be the case with Serraldo. There's absolutely nothing that ever comes out of anyone's mouth that says he isn't an absolute champion with a man manager, but also, strategy for today's modern game. So I think he's going to be successful. Look, they've taken him on the big contract, and I really don't think it's going to be another Trent Barrett situation. I think he'll be the coach there for a while. He's got the best roster as well, I think, to get sort of some semi-immediate success.
Yeah, I think it's a long-term plan for the Bulldogs, and that's why I've got them in 12th this year. I don't think it's going to click straight away, but when we do this podcast in 365 days, I could have them 5th, 6th. So I think it's definitely a building platform. I've got them in 12th, but the teams that we've spoken about, so I'd say from sort of 7th to 13th, you could just chuck a blanket. Yeah. You could chuck a blanket over them, and you could chop and change them in between.
Yeah, I've got them in 12th. I think I saw your notes.
I've got them in 10th. I've read your notes. I've got them in 10th. You've got them in 12th.
Yeah, I agree with you though. I think, we've had the Raiders, we've had the Tigers. I had the Tigers in 10th, and so we've got them both switched around. Mm-hmm. I think there's from that 12th up to about 8th. I reckon it's going to be a real traffic jam. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Raiders finish 12th this year, and the Bulldogs and the Tigers maybe to go above them, or the other way around. They're going to be in the hunt, I reckon, for an 8th this year. I've got them 12th. The only concerns I've got over the Dogs is, in that spine, have they got a 7? Have they got a 1?
The exact same problems as the Tigers. Really good 9, really good 6, missing a 1, missing a 7, question marks over the 13.
Yeah, so look, those are the questions I've got. I mean, look, personally, I thought Jeremy Marshall King was getting better every year, and I think Reed Marnie's getting worse every year. So I don't know if that's an upgrade. That's probably just being a bit harsh, but look, I've got them at finishing in 12th just because they've been out of practice of finishing top 8 But it wouldn't surprise me if they jagged it.
Now, we do need to mention, if people are listening to these podcasts, you know, back, like if you're listening to this in, say, February, and you're listening to these in sort of chronological order, between our last recording session and today, the Supercoach world has been hit with inflation. So all the prices from the first four episodes, I guess, will be a little bit out of whack. But moving forward, yeah, so we've had a bit of a rise. The salary cap has also increased to, I think, 11.5. So up... what's that, 15%, if I can do my math correct? So some player prices today might not equate to, you know, what we've spoken about in previous days. But, yeah, I guess what are your initial thoughts with the moving prices? It hasn't changed much because everyone's gone up, you know, in percentage-wise. But, hey, if we play Supercoach in 4 or 5 years, you know, $1 million could be the norm for a gun.
Yeah, well, that's right. So for this year, it's not going to make any difference. You'll notice that you still have the same roster that you picked when the prices were down, because it's all relative. The prices went up accordingly.
You might have made a couple of hundred bucks.
So it's not going to make a difference to how we go this year. I don't think it's going to affect their BEs and stuff. But yeah, in a few years, with this as a starting point, yeah, that we could see the price. Yeah, what we think is a normal price. So when we're going through the prices of these guys today, you're like, what the hell? Viliami Kika, nearly 700K. Well, they've gone up. So, you know, it's relative to the rise that we've had.
I guess some non-Bulldogs news will get out of the way. Big Johnny Bateman also added to the game, 622K. You know, that was 550 in the old price. So he's priced at a 59 average. I'm sure Ado and I will get into him when we do positions, but yeah, just a little bit of shake up between the last recording and now. But let's get into the Doggies. I've got them in 10th. You've got them in 12th, as we've said. We both do agree on one thing, that they have no standout guns. I guess you could say you and I were very tempted to put Matt Burton in the gun category, but he's probably not quite there. He's not in the same echelon as like a Munster. To start with, but yeah, no outright, I guess, guns to speak of. And we do have Viliami Kikau, both of us, in the bum category. 686K, you know, coming off a very, very potent Panthers side. He's probably going to line up on that left-hand side, so he'll have Matt Burton feeding him ball. But it's just a lot of money to pay moving to a new club when I'm sure he'll finish the year very well. But to start the year, a little bit of unknowns for me.
Yeah, look, he's 65 average last year, being fed balls by, you know, Luai and Cleary, who are like the representative halves in a team that's a well-oiled machine. Look, it's probably a good thing that it's Burton, and they've probably had a bit to do with each other in the past as well, which is a good thing. But it's, again, going from that premiership winning team back to backs down to the Dogs, I worry about whether he's going to be fed, you know, as slick as he's been fed in the past. He has been a sort of in and out of games type player traditionally, but he had a ripping year last year. I think he wanted to go out on a high note with the Panthers, and he did do that. I think that he's going to be a real benefit to Burton this year, because Burton's going to get a try assist just because it was Viliami Kikau running onto the ball, you know, and in the past that wouldn't have been a try assist at all because there's no try. I was tempted to put Burton in a gun because that's where I think he's going to be this year. I think he's going to be in the top three 5-8s this year because of points. I think they're going to score a lot more points this year, the Dogs. And I think that there's going to be some bigger targets out there in Kikau. And, you know, hopefully a fit TPJ and RFM, some big bodies who run good lines. I think that's going to benefit Burton. But, I mean, look, if we're being serious, he's probably going to be a bounce back because we think he's going to do better than he did last year. But I think he'll be a 70, close to 70, averaging 5-8 this year. Kikau, on the other hand, I think will probably, if he was 65 last year, I think he'll probably be 60, I reckon, at a conservative guess.
Yeah, I reckon post-Origin he could be pushing 65 once everything clicks. But to start the year, I think he does come off slow. When you do mention Burton, I think Kikau could be a big winner there. I think a lot of teams will send double teams at Kikau in terms of, like, the center and the halfback, like, jamming in, which could definitely free up some space for Burton to put balls at the back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yep. Yep, definitely. And I mean, even in just in goals, like let's say he gets two more goals a game, you know, that's all going to help.
Yeah, eight points there. So yeah, it'll definitely improve it. And I do like that. We both are not a fan of Max King. 540K does have the dual. I'm just not too sure how much, progression Max King has. Max King isn't young. Even though last year was his breakout year, I think he's 25, 26, so he's not young. And I just don't know at 540K, and we'll touch on him, but when you can get Luke Thompson at 512K, who definitely has more upside, I think Matt King is a bit of a, trap, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think so too, because the reason why he had a breakout year last year is because we had issues with TPJ on the injury front. We had Luke Thompson out for big parts of the year. Just adding those two back in, we didn't have RFM for a good part of the year as well. I mean, if these guys are just injected back in, he's probably the one that goes to the end of the pile, isn't he, for minutes. And last year, one of the things that was good about him were like, wow, Max King keeps getting the good minutes. You know, he's getting 40, 50 minutes. And he absolutely was essential, I think. He was such a great player for him last year. But, if Luke Thompson is in there now and you've got TPJ, you've got RFM, I just think that there's probably a jump backwards for him this year.
Yeah, I think I owned two players from round 1s to round 25 last year. One of them was Isaac Tago and the other one was Max King. Yeah, very, very good. Very, very good last year. And the duel is nice, but yeah, I do think he is probably the first player to have minutes come down now next year. And I'd much rather take a flyer on Luke Thompson, who we'll touch on shortly. However, you've got one more person in your bum category, and I've got the same person in my bounce back category. It's Reid Marnie, 575K. Now, the reason why I've got him in the bounce back category, and I'm probably reading way too much into this, but I just look at what Seraldo did with, Appy Coruscant. Maybe I'm just trying to put two and two together where the connection's not there and we're building narratives in the preseason. That's what the preseason's all about. But, surely it doesn't get any worse for Reid Marnie, does it?
Well, I mean, what have we seen? what have we seen from him that makes us think that he's going to be better? I mean, maybe the coach, but Brad Arthur got the old Parramatta Eels to grand final last year. And, Reid got himself up near representative duty, at those Parramatta Eels. And look, they've had a great roster as well. I don't actually, I think he's a little overrated. Is that a big statement? Sorry, Doggies.
Look.
He's a bit injury prone too, because he does go hard.
It's funny. If you said, if we recorded this podcast last year and we said, if we said that Jerry Marshall King is being upgraded to Reid Marnie, we would have said that's an absolute slam dunk, no brainer. RFM played really RFM. Jerry Marshall King played really, really good last year, and Reid obviously had a slow year, and now the move looks a little bit questionable. I've still got faith in Reid. I'm not expecting him to be a world beater. I don't expect him to compete with Cook, Robson, and Grant. But yeah, I think he could probably push back and being the fourth best hooker. I don't see him presenting a whole lot of Supercoach value at 574K when you can be cheaper and get Cheese or go a little bit more expensive and get Robson. But I do expect, an average bounce back from Marnie, or maybe a 2 or 3 point upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, what did he average last year? I think he's got to be. He can go one or the other way. It will be a couple of points, I reckon.
He's in a really crap price point when you've got, like I said, Brandon Smith cheaper and Robson that little bit more expensive. But a guy that you and I both absolutely love this year, me probably more so than you because he is in my team at the moment, as we saw with my team reveal. It's Luke Thompson, 512K, dual front row forward, 2RF. Expect him to line up in the front row pairing with Max King. And the minutes wise, this is probably the only question mark for me with minutes, because there is a lot of middles at the Bulldogs. But we saw, you know, in his first stint before injury, he averaged 66. So he was exceptional.
Yeah, that's it. I think when you look at the ones that are in the price points here, you know, you could think of a Christian Welsh, but you know that he's coming back off a big injury. You know, you like Lindsay Collins at his price point, but, you know, there's also a worry about how many minutes he's going to get. And also he nearly knocks himself out every time he runs on the bloody field. So if the head's right and he's here for the whole year and he's fully invested, I reckon Luke Thompson is he was brought over here because he was extremely talented, and I think we saw that when he was averaging those 60s. I think he's a value proposition in the front row being dual, and I really like him too. And if I'm being honest, he's found his way to my team.
Well. We've got him. In that similar price point, like you said, you're Christian Welch, who, you know, we're both, well, I'm not sure your stance on him, but I'm not keen on Christian Welch at all this year. You've got Corey Horsborough, who we've both mentioned, you know, if he gets a start, we're big fans of. Lindsay Collins. You've even got guys like Tom Gilbert in that same price point as well. So there is a lot of mouths to feed. And then obviously Daniel Saifidi, who you and I pretty much sold on as a set and forget in our front row. So no huge debate here. No huge downside for Thompson. I wouldn't say huge upside, but I'll tell you someone who does have huge upside, TPJ.
TPJ, he doesn't cost you much more at all to Luke Thompson.
Only 2RF, though, this year. In previous years was front row forward, which was handy, but does just have the single dual this year, which not ideal, but, yeah, 525 for TPJ.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've lost, a captain there who played big, big minutes at the Dogs. If TPJ stays fit, and he can control his, I like him to have aggression, but if he can not get suspended or injured, we'd love big minutes from him, wouldn't we?
One thing to note as well, as you mentioned, Josh Jackson, but Paul Vaughan also off the Super League as well. So
there's got to be some minutes, I think, particularly in the second row. I think they've got a good rotation in the front row. We know that TPJ can go up there as well, but if he's fit and if I see footage of them training and he's looking fit, you could do worse than have a punt on him because he's just got a super coach friendly game, hasn't he?
Yeah, he only needs 40-45 minutes. I remember, I think it was a game against, it was a game for the Broncos. This was a couple of years ago, and TPJ only played 41 minutes that game, scored 84 points. No attacking stats, no tries, just all offloads, all tackle busts. He doesn't need much.
No, it's just the style of player he is. You know, he's got that arm free, he fends, he's a tackle breaker. He's one of those ones that we always feel scared to go because there's a number of things that can go wrong with him. He's like Hetherington, you know, you could get suspended for 5 weeks at any time or sent off. You know, Tavita's got that in his game. He can be a fiery thing. And not to mention, he does, is it the hammies that he does? Yeah. He's got some injuries in him as well. So, I don't know if I'm going to go there this year. I'm probably going to spend up on one second rower. So, I'm not going to spend that high for my second rower. And just realize that if you do go him, it's not without risk.
Oh, he is fame or famine. Like, he could... He has the most upside out of anyone in that price point. No two ways about it. Raymond Faitala Mariner, 471K. Now, we haven't seen RFM at his best for sort of 2 years. Very lucky that he's even playing footy, to be honest. There were some reports that his rehab went shocking and he faced not being able to walk on his foot again. But, yeah, very good to see him back. You would expect he slots into the vacant 2RF spot left by Jackson with, you know, Kikau taking one, obviously. Talk to me about RFM because, you know, at his best, 2020 averaged 59, 2018 averaged 58 in not many minutes. I mean, 2020 averaged 59 in 69 minutes, so he wasn't even an 80-minute player. But, you know, consistent career PPM between 0.8 and 1. Big upside for 471K.
Yeah, that's the thing with him. We've, all of us, you know, who have been fans of RFM and who have wanted for him to be healthy enough to play consistent first grade, we've seen that he's got a bit of super coach, ability about him. And look, he's at a good price, I think. If you feel like he's going to be healthy enough to lock down that edge spot in that team. If he does, Like, if he runs out and he's there in the second row with Kikau for round one, I think that he might just lure a few people in who have always been big on RFM. You know, he's so cheap, 470-71. Surely he's going to bounce back and do better this year if he stays fit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at his, you know, stats here, and it's hard to read much into them because how underdone he probably was. When he started to get consistent minutes at the back end of last year, 43, 38, 59, 41, 45, 57, you know, with a base of around 40. So if that's his floor and he's priced at you know, 40, 45, if that's his floor, then, you know, his base is making up for the work. So definitely not against RFM and definitely could find his way into my side. Just on RFM though, like it's very good that he's back playing, because, you know, as we said, there was huge concerns over his fitness and his ability to even come back. So from a footy standpoint, great to see. You've got Hayes Perham in the bounce back, as do I. I'm assuming that's off the reports that he is training at fullback.
Absolutely. If he's going to be in the fullback, as some of those suggestions are, there's got to be value there. Look, and I've got Averillo there too as well. I mean, at that price point, whoever does jag the fullback spot, you think that I feel like they're going to be a better attacking unit this year. And I think, you know, the fullback could, particularly at their price point, have a nice bounce back, whoever it happens to be that gets the fullback spot.
Ideally, we'd like it to be Perham because he is centre wing availability, and Averillo is not. So, look, if Perham gets it, makes it easier for Super Coaches. We can chuck him in there. But, yeah, I did want to question your thoughts on having Averillo in your bounce back, but it's just a case of, you know, whoever gets the fullback spot.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to be going that cheap in the fullback spot. So,
no.
Look, he is a bounce back candidate, I think, at the price point. I think last year he sort of, was it mid-year that he went to fullback?
Yeah, really turned it on when he did get that opportunity.
Yeah, so I mean, I think if he starts at fullback and he's at that price point, I could see him making some fast cash because I thought he showed a bit. I thought that it looks like that's his position to me. So not that I'd be taking a punt on him in the fullback position, but I could see him making a couple of hundred thousand. Or Perham, whoever gets it.
Yeah, definitely. And also, look, we've mentioned him before, but Matt Burton, just quickly, you know, really, really like him. We've chatted on Dewey. I think I'm slightly in favour of Burton, just with the, you know, stability of his position and a team on the up. So Matt Burton, 594K, you know, huge upside. We both like him there. In the cash cow section, we've got our boy Franklin Pelle. Shout out to Franklin Pelle. Follows me on Instagram. I'll always plug that. What was that?
Love it.
Yeah, 216K. You know, best bet probably Jags 17 jersey. You know, hopeful for 25 minutes off the bench. That would be, you know, ideal.
Yeah, he's cheap, and he's one of those ones that if he jags a spot in the 17, there's not many other cheaper ones, I think. So go for it, I reckon. And
the other case, look, we mentioned Perham or Averillo, whoever gets the fullback slot will be, you know, our bounce back candidate. Our cash cow will be, you know, Paul Alamotti or Skelton, both centre wings, both bottom dollar. There is some talk that, you know, Averillo will play in the centres with Perham at fullback, and that would have Braden Burns in the other centre spot. But, you know, there's huge raps on Skelton, Paul Alamotti. Out of the Bulldogs camp, reports are that he's a little bit green, so maybe Skelton's slightly more favoured there, but, you know, huge upside for both those guys. We saw the emergence of Karaz last year, and, you know, these Bulldogs juniors in the back line, they're coming through really well.
Yeah, well, that's it. Look, here's the question, though. You know, would you go either of those two if they did, say, start with Perham at fullback and Averillo in the centres? Would you just hang on to one of those guys as the cheaper guys for maybe later on in the year, or would you just take any old bottom fighter that's playing?
Knowing my luck, I'll take Alamotti, and it'll be Skelton that gets named in round five. And if I take Skelton, it'll be Alamotti that gets named, you know, led down the line. So I think I'd probably give them both a miss, just in case, like in terms of what we're doing. Looks like we've already got a cheapie in the Titans at bottom dollar. So, you know, we've got one bottom dollar centre wing spot there. If you're picking a Tyrell Sloan, then he's one of your bench spots taken up. So you've only got to fill it with one other cheapie. And Look, I'm sure we'll get one, whether it be Zach Sini, Hayes Dunster, or Sean Russell at Parramatta. One of those guys would surely take a centre wing spot. So I'm not too sure if it's a position that I'm happy to hold enough for the sake of it. You know, you could always take Tuare as well from the Dolphins. But yeah, I think Teamless Tuesday and as trials progress will be interesting because that will give us an idea. But there is a few centre wing cheapies. Same with Tuare. There's a few of those guys there as well. But that's the Doggies. Yeah, really excited to see them this year. Head coach change, you know, spine shake up, you know, some good back rowers, some, you know, TPJ was out of form last year, RFM back from injury. So it's a big shake up. I just think it might take a year to click. But if you're a Doggies fan, you've got to be impressed, especially the last couple of years have been a little bit dire.
Yeah, definitely. It looks a good outfit, I think, on paper. It's the best I've seen them look in a while. So, you know, this year could be a year that could really be a great year for you. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a whole lot of expectation. Like, I wouldn't. If you can make the eight, I think that's probably the top end of Bulldogs fans' goals. Anything worse than sort of 14th would be a bit of a disaster for mine. So definitely a building year. But we will be back tomorrow. I think we have the Sharkies tomorrow, and there's some big names there, headlined by, you know, one very very wet haired halfback.
Oh, what gorgeous wet hair he's got.
We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.
See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.